That's amazing. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, if you would tonight. We'll get off script a little bit tonight. 1 Peter chapter 2. Had just this week opportunity to think about a few things. And, yeah, a lot of it's past stuff. For instance, the old building, the original building behind us is still leaking. And we don't want to go into all the issues there, but hopefully they're stopped. We've basically come down to one thing it can be, and they fixed that this last week. So we're waiting for a big rain to see if it's stopped leaking or not. Yeah, we need a big rain anyway. And then I had the audacity to start trying to clean my office. Some of y'all been in my office. I've never claimed to be the cleanest guy office in the world, and I know whatever's in every stack. I promise you, ask me for something, I'll know what stack it's in. But I did start going through some things, and I actually had a couple of boxes left from 2005 and 2006 that I had never gone through since we got in this new building, the building behind me. And so I started going through it and reminiscing, and I threw most of it away. But it was good to go through and think about various people, various events that have happened over the years, and some good, some bad, and just to think about what took place for us to get to this point. You know, all the events that have taken place, all the good times as well as the sacrifices that have been made. And I just thought tonight again to preach a message just very much to our people about the church's purpose. We're not going to really cover the 3 points on the walls tonight, but just remind you that a church is intended to grow. Right? I mean, it's intended to grow. And we want to see that, and we continue to see that. We don't want to just take it for granted. We put the building up and everything goes all right. That just a building is just a tool. And sure, it brings with it some buzz and people and some maybe some visitors, but it absolutely takes us continuing to do the work and the God-given increase. We have very much in the last 8 years changed a lot of our philosophy. We don't have a lot, besides our harvest Sundays in the fall, we don't do a lot of the Sunday school campaigns we used to have and a lot of those things. And we have a few, but not like we used to. I really believe that God blesses the work. So we want to continue to emphasize the work. And then also to encourage people in the work. And that if we will work, that God will give the increase. It's not so much about how many you have in your Sunday school class or how many you had in the services Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. It's how hard did you work? How hard did you work the week before you had your Sunday school class? How many visits did you make? How many phone calls did you make? How many letters did you send out? That's what's important. Again, our job is to work. God gives the increase. And so we'll continue to emphasize that as we go forward as a church. And not that we won't ever set a numerical goal, but we haven't done so in a while. But we may in the future. I don't know that. But it's not so much numerical goals as it is work goals. How many houses are we going to knock? You know, how many doors are we going to knock? How many visits are we going to make this week? I just want to encourage all our teachers and workers this week. We had 144 absentees in Sunday school this morning. 144. 144. That's a lot of absentees. I want to encourage you to contact every absentee in your Sunday school class. You say, well, they were there. I know where the Fortes were at today. I know where the Van Fleets were at today. I know where the Franks were at today. I might even call them and just say, hey, no, you're at your little cruisy thingy. But we did miss you. The Watsons were on vacation today. I mean, I understand that. And I appreciate those letting me know, hey, we're going to be out of town. We're on vacation, so forth. But we want to make sure that people, as I said this morning at the end of the service, that people know, our church family knows that we care for them and that we do miss them when they're not here. And that it's okay to, our goal is to reach new people, but we'd also want to make sure that our church family knows we love them and that we care for them and so forth. You say, well, is there some issue going on? No, I'm not saying there's any issues going on. I'm just reminding you a few things. Hey, you know, our family's important. Do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith, right? Especially, why did that tag get put on there in Galatians as we studied last year? Because the Lord was emphasizing for us to take care of our own, to make sure our own are taken care of, and we would do so in our own families. Just as an introduction tonight, Isaiah 66 says, as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. You say, well, what in the world does that mean? When the children of Israel were carried into captivity, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom carried into captivity, Isaiah, of course, I alluded to it this morning, absolutely prophesied that that was going to happen. That Israel was going to be carried into captivity by the Assyrians and then by the Babylonians. But also, Isaiah prophesied about the return of the remnant. That a remnant would take place, that a certain amount would return. And he just simply said, as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. In other words, after the sacrifice was made, after the trials, after the work, after all these things happened, then the good things happened. They were able to return. King Cyrus made the decree. They were able to come back and do so. And I just want to remind you that after the sacrifices, yeah, maybe this time in this new building, it went so much smoother that we didn't quite feel the pinch maybe that we did in the original building. But listen, there's a sacrifice made. Many of you gave to buy new chairs, more chairs, and help with all the other things that went on. And a lot of work has gone into getting visitors here, whether it's the Easter musical and so forth. Remember, it takes some work. It takes some work to see results. God will bless the work. We can do anything and everything in our own strength and build a church, but to build a body of God, we must do it through His strength. In other words, we're not just here to build numbers. We're here to build a body for Jesus Christ. We're here to build a family for Him. In other words, we're here to build a church. We think about the great work that's been done at Heritage already. But listen, the future is bright. The future is bright. We have greater days ahead. And I just want to encourage you to continue to labor in the fields. Continue to work. Continue to call. Continue to tell others. We've talked about this before. Every year I mention this little outline, and I want to do so now. Practically, as far as how do we help in the church services, how do we help in the church services to promote unity and promote an atmosphere for growth in the church services? Y'all remember this outline? There's 10 of them. Say amen. Good. Good job. Say amen. Amen simply means I agree. And I don't want to ever for our church to lose the shout. Listen, it's vitally important. I believe that. Now on Sunday mornings, if some of our key guys are not here, there's not hardly any amens. One of those is Brother Clark, and there's a few others. They're a little louder than others. But if he's in children's church on Sunday morning, and there's a couple other guys, Brother John and others in children's church, all of a sudden it gets a little quiet in here. I need some other men and ladies. And ladies, to step up and say, you know what, on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, I'm just going to say amen every once in a while. It really is important. I think it's important for the atmosphere of the church. And I'm telling you, it does encourage me when I preach. It encourages Brother Wiggins when he's preaching. It does. It's just encouraging. I can't say that enough. I don't want to be in a liturgic church where everything's just stoic. Amen. Right? And I think it's very easy for our church, because we don't clap after the singing, and there's not a lot of that going on, it could be very easy for us to slip into that mode of just quietness. And I don't think that's what the Lord intended. Amen. You look throughout the New Testament, see how many times amen said. It's said a whole bunch. Right? And it's important in the services. You say, well, the Bible says women should keep silence in the church. That's talking about tongues and prophecy. It's not talking about you saying amen in church. Say amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Or Honolulu. I want to go there again. We're going to see that video here in a little bit. But say amen. Praise God. And let's don't lose the shout. It can also be overwhelming as many visitors as we have and new people, new faces, even tonight. A lot of our new families are here. Man, just don't get out of the habit. Say amen. Number two, sing out. This building is definitely not like the other one. It does absorb some sound. And so it is not as loud. And I just can't encourage you enough. whether you're sitting on the front seat or the back seat, to sing out loud. It will impact those around you, right? It will. You say, well, I can't sing that. You know, Brother Forte's not here. I'm going to pick on him. Jerry Forte can't sing his way out of a paper bag, you know. But he sings. You know, I watch him. He sings. His mouth's moving. We were talking about him on the way to the men's advance is why I'm saying it. But, you know, he's singing. And I just can't say it enough that everyone participate in the singing. And get your songbook. You'll notice, and I don't do it simply because I get a songbook up here. I mean, I got a songbook. I'm singing. I want to participate as well. I'm here to worship the Lord too. And sing out loud. Don't just, you know, the Bible says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. You know, it's not just how you sing it out. Praise the Lord and lift up your voice unto Him. And I just can't, again, I know I'm going to repeat myself 100 times. I can't encourage you enough. Say amen. Sing out loud. Number 3, smile. They're contagious. And I don't say we all have to run around with a grimace. I don't always walk up here with a smile on my face. But smiles help, right? They're contagious. Smile, shake somebody's hand. Let them know you're glad to be here. And not all of us have the best days on Sunday, right? Some of you laughing. Isn't it amazing how many Sundays are bad days? I'm talking about, you know, just one of those days you wake up and things are not good. No? Never happens to y'all? Uh-huh. Yeah. Sunday nights, trying to get here on a Sunday night or a Wednesday night. It's tough. So to come in and smile. This is not only for the benefit of our church members, but for the benefit of our visitors. It's for their benefit as well to smile, and smiles are contagious. Number 4, shake hands. Greet one another, the Bible says, with a holy kiss. And since we don't kiss around here, we're going to greet. And of course, we know that was the custom of the day. We're not in Europe. I don't know nobody kissing my cheek except my wife and my kids. And I have a few ladies that I would allow that who are above the age of 70. Am I turning red? No, I'm good. Shake hands. I enjoy. We've actually, in the last 2 or 3 months, have asked Brother Tim to let the shaking hands go a little longer on Sunday morning. And let's let that thing go a little bit. And let's get around and shake hands a little bit. And let people know that we're glad they're here. And whether it's church members or our visitors. Be careful when you're walking up and down the aisles on Sunday mornings. If you don't pass a visitor. You know, don't pass a visitor. Don't do it. I see it all the time, by the way. I'm not getting on to you. I just see it a lot. Don't pass a visitor. Shake their hands. Shake their hands. All right? Greet one another with a holy kiss. 5, sit down front. Especially on Sunday mornings. I can't encourage you. Sunday mornings, if you could sit down front, leave those back pews for the visitors. It'll be a real, real blessing, especially to our ushers. Leave the back for visitors. I know we got lots of room in here. It's not as crucial as it used to be, as it was in the other building. But sit up front. Good job, Brother Clark. Up here's where you get spit on, man. You know. Stop talking. I want to address the teenagers for a second. Teenagers have gotten bad at this. You don't talk during the song service. While the offertory is going on, you know who you are. There's a couple of you that I've almost did what my dad used to do to me in church. He'd get up, and he'd call you out. Amen. You're that close, some of you. I'm not kidding. That close. And you don't want me to embarrass you in front of 300 people. Okay? I love you guys. Do, but it's gotten out of hand a little bit. Help me out, okay? Everybody with me? Amen? All right, good. Thank you. Sit down front. Stop talking. Distractions are so important, and we address this every year, so don't think I'm picking on anybody, and I wish I should discuss these on Sunday morning. Be very careful during the invitation not to zip your Bible deal up. Man, I was sitting down here while we had the missionaries here, and I can hear them all behind me. Zip. I'm like, man, it's not over yet. Amen. And I know we're kind of laughing, but it's, listen, don't, you know, be careful. Don't reach down and unzip your purse and put stuff in it or I don't know what guys do. Guys, you know, be still, you know. Don't be a distraction. Don't be a distraction. Don't be a distraction. Don't talk, but don't be a distraction. There are people in the auditorium who are lost every Sunday morning, especially Sunday morning. There are people here who are not saved. And I would hate for you to be the one who stands before God someday and they say, well, I was going to go, but this is a distraction. You said that might happen? I don't know. It might happen. We're pretty good about this on Sunday mornings because our kids are not in here. But, you know, no leaving the auditorium. Just everybody, don't cause a distraction. Sit down front, stop talking. Number seven, arrive early. Arrive early, and I appreciate our teachers. I believe this is going really well. Everybody's here early and going and doing. And teachers are supposed to be here early for their Sunday school classes or else kids start showing up and there's no place to put them. And it's important, I think, overall to show your enthusiasm to your church that you arrive early. Arrive early. It tells a lot about your temperature. Arrive early. Some of you are smiling. I'm not picking out on anybody. I don't even know if I even need to say this one. Stay afterward. Number eight, stay afterward. You know, sometimes it's just rough around here. We're like an hour later and people still here and talking. And we're deciding, well, should we turn the lights out or what should we do? But I'm still amazed at how much our church people do hang out and hang around. And that's wonderful. Keep it up. And that, it says a lot about our church and it says a lot about the fellowship that goes on in our church. And keep that up. Take some time and socialize and get to know people. And after church is a great time to do that. Someday we'll have a big lobby. You know, we build the auditorium out front someday. We'll build a lobby big enough for everybody to hang out in. But stay afterwards. How are we to help? Practically speaking, in church, tithe and give. It takes money to grow. It takes money to continue to go forward. And just can't encourage you enough to continue to be faithful in your giving. And number 10, go to the altar. We've definitely seen an improvement of this. Ever since I've really been pushing this the last couple of years. When we have big days like Easter Sunday, or we have big days during our harvest days, and whatever it may be, it seems like in years past that nobody came to the altar. I'm like, okay, there's the biggest crowd we've ever had, and nobody's come down front. And I just want to encourage you, when on big days especially, if the Lord even tickles your heartstring, come down front and pray. It does help those who may be second-guessing themselves whether they should come down front or maybe those who are not taking courage to do so. If there are several who come down, then it might encourage them to step out as well. Amen? And I just encourage you, if you're physically able to, there should be a time in the past year that you can look back and say, I came to the altar. When's the last time you came to the altar? I'm talking about those who are physically able to. It is important in your spiritual life. The altar is a place to come and die on. It is a special place. It's not like praying in your car. I'm not saying you can't get results from praying in your car, but this is a special place. You can come and do business with God. All right, so practically speaking, we talk about the atmosphere of the church and the during our services and so forth. Say amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Whatever you like to say, except, you know, try not to jump a pew or do something like that. But sing out. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Proverbs says, the righteous doth sing and rejoice. The righteous doth sing and rejoice. Smile. Shake hands. Sit down front. Leave the back on Sunday mornings, especially for visitors. Stop talking. Arrive early. Stay afterwards. Tithe and give. Go to the altar. These are some practical things, and these actually came from Brother Stone's pastor. He was under for years, Brother Mickey Hollers. And I got this list when I was back in seminary and have shared it every year, I think almost every year, to our church. And these are practical things we can do. In nature, plants grow in the spring and summer. Growth takes place because of a correct atmospheric conditions exist. The temperature is warm and the ground is moist. However, in the fall and the winter, when temperatures drop very little growth takes place. Growth does not take place in cold temperatures. Likewise, in our churches, we need to concentrate on atmosphere that is warm and conducive to growth. How do we bring about this atmosphere? And atmosphere is not really the word maybe that needs to be used, but how do we bring about that atmosphere whereby the Holy Spirit comes and He feels comfortable in our church? I want to read to you again 1 Peter chapter 2 and remind you what the Bible refers to us as living stones. 1 Peter chapter 2, and look with me in verse 4. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, talking about Jesus, ye also are lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore, also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone. This is found in Isaiah 28:16, by the way. Elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallow, the same is made the head of the corner. And the stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they are appointed. Speaks of Jesus Christ, and there's several other scriptures we could turn to, speak of Jesus Christ as being the cornerstone or the foundation. And then here we see the Bible refer to us as Christians as lively stones. Us, those of us who are members of this church, as lively stones. Jesus Christ absolutely is the foundation. He is the necessary. He is necessary. He is the foundation. But Peter speaks of a spiritual house being built up for the glory of God. Again, this building is just a building. Each one of us, Holy Spirit, if you're saved tonight, the Holy Spirit abides in you. And if you're a member of Heritage Baptist Church, then you are a partaker in this particular local assembly. And therefore, you are a lively stone or a living stone in this local assembly. And so we are building up a spiritual house. Every time we meet, we are building up a spiritual house. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight again for the opportunity to come meet in your house. We pray again for this truth to be made very evident. Help us, Lord, to beware and to be careful about our stone. In Jesus' name, amen. We are made living stones. The Bible says that when we accepted Christ as our Savior, that we were quickened by the Holy Spirit. We were dead in trespasses and sins, and now we've been made alive. Right? Just as if a stone is cold stone, it's dead. But when we accept Christ as our Savior, our stone becomes alive. And Peter gives us an illustration to us about how that churches built up a spiritual house. He talks about later in a few other scriptures, Ephesians as well, about being fitly framed together. Fitly framed together. That the church is there to fitly frame together. Each member fitly framed together. So, we're talking about living stones cut out of nature's quarry. I'm glad I'm born again, aren't you? I'm glad I'm alive tonight. And God has a stone. I am a stone. And that stone is being continuing to be cut and polished by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are many types of stone when you're building. There are chop stone, sawn stone, there's builder stone, there's different types of stone. And so we think about that for a second. The worker who is putting the stone, or the mason who is working with that particular stone. So let's say the church building here, we're out here watching them put the sandstone on the building. They would grab it. I'm still amazed at how they do this. And they know where everything goes. It amazes me. Nowhere can I even get close to doing that. But they'll take that stone. They got a spot for that stone. They begin to chip away at it, make it whatever size they're wanting, and then they put it up there. They grab another stone, maybe a smaller one, and they chip away at it. Sometimes they chip off more of one stone than another stone to make it fit where it needs to fit. And so that's what the Bible refers to us as lively stones or living stones, and that God is working on us. He's chipping away at us, right? He's molding us into the image of His Son. He's conforming us to the image of His Son. He's still working on us. He's working on some more than others, right? All of us, that could apply to. And we are these living stones. Being confident, as we studied in Philippians, of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. In other words, until Christ returns, God is going to continue to work on us, chipping away at us, chipping away at us, placing us into the proper place in this spiritual house. We are placed into this house. By the way, it's prepared for us a place to occupy in the spiritual temple. In other words, the builder, the master builder, which is Jesus Christ, has put us and given us various talents to place us into the spiritual house. Again, if we think about Ephesians chapter 2, it talks about us being fitly framed together. We're not going to turn over there. But Solomon's temple, as we've preached this before, was built on site without hammers. Right? So they went to the quarry. They sawed out the stones. And I told you this last time I studied this, and I even got to talk to Brother A.B. Henderson about this. I've never really came across this before up until about 3 years ago, that this temple, not only when they quarried out the stone for it, they quarried it out of the side of a mountain. They kept track of it. They would number that stone 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and they would number the stones so that when they reassembled them on the temple, they would put them back in the order in which they were found on the side of the hill. So that when they were fitly framed together, the masons were so amazing that they could cut these stones in such a way that they would be fitly framed together. It required no mortar, no cement. The temple was put together without cement. These stones were fitly framed together. So literally, when you looked at the temple and you looked at the side of the temple, it would look as if it was one stone cut out of the side of the mountain. Isn't that amazing? It's amazing. They prepared all the latches and all the particular hinges and all these things were prepared beforehand to be placed in the temple without hammers. The stones were fitly framed together. They hooked together. I don't know if it was like these stones we have, you know, at Home Depot where they slide together. We don't know exactly. Someday in heaven, I guess we'll find out. But they were fitly framed together. The Bible, Peter, as well as Paul, illustrates that we are those living stones, that we are to be fitly framed together. Remember now, as I said this morning, when they got the temple completed, when Solomon completed the temple, what happened? The glory of the Lord came down and filled that temple. Why? Because the atmospheric conditions were correct. Everything had been prepared and done. And can I tell you that when you walk through the doors tonight and you're a member of this church, that you are a stone in this church. You are a living stone in this church. That we are building up a spiritual house. If you could just in your mind think about tonight of walls going up. And that Brother Laster's a stone in that wall. And Brother McKinney's a stone in that wall. And Brother Reed and others. And we're building up a spiritual house. And when the house is completed, the Holy Spirit comes down. Holy Spirit shows up. When the atmosphere in the spiritual house is where it should be, when it's conducive for the Holy Spirit, He shows up the Bible says where two or more are gathered together in His name, He'll be here. We understand that. But it does not mean He has to make Himself evident. It does not mean He has to show forth Himself. In order for the Holy Spirit to show forth Himself, in order for the Holy Spirit to evidence Himself, there must be the correct atmospheric conditions. What we don't like is we don't like what it takes for the Holy Spirit to be evident. We don't. There are not enough people, and I'm going to be nice. There's not enough of our members willing to sacrifice during the week and prepare for Sunday to truly put our church in a position for the Holy Spirit to make Himself evident. That's why we don't see revival in America today. By the way, I'm picking on you, but most churches are this way. I don't know that I know of any churches that are truly seeing on a regular basis the evidence of the Holy Spirit. By the way, the evidence of the Holy Spirit is not speaking in tongues. Evidence of the Holy Spirit is not some, you know, charismatic, some touchy-feely thing that goes on. The Holy Spirit, the evidence of the Holy Spirit is changed lives. The evidence of the Holy Spirit is people getting saved. You say, well, what does it take? It takes each of us during the week preparing ourselves for each service. It takes us as Christians, listen, it takes us as members of Heritage Baptist Church having a devotional time with the Lord. It takes members of Heritage Baptist Church walking with the Lord during the week. It takes us preparing for the service, not just showing up here on Sunday with all this dirt on us and all the worldliness on us, but it's taking care of those issues during the week, and that when we come to hear the Word of God, that we're not coming to necessarily receive, but to give. That we come not we come expecting something for God to do something in our services. So we would allude to the illustration is that when we are not fitly framed together as a church, it's because mortar has gotten in the way. Cement has gotten in the way, the cement of sin. And when each of us practice Christianity during the week, we come to church with less cement on our stone. We come together with less sin in our life. We come together right with the Lord. Now, let me clarify and say, I don't mean that you have to do that every Sunday. I don't think that's possible for that to happen every Sunday. There are just weeks that are going to happen that are going to happen. Amen? Some of you may have had a week like that this week. But I'm saying on average, you should consistently come to church having already spent time with the Lord during the week, having already walked with the Lord during the week, and showing up to church right with God already, having already unloaded your burdens with Him, having already asked for forgiveness of sins, having already walked with Him in fellowship with Him. And as we do that during the week, and we come to church with that type of attitude and that type of heart, a contrite heart, a heart of love and concern and compassion for others, then the Lord will show up in a major way. If I could tell you in my own ministry, that is my philosophy of ministry. I've always said that I want to be a genuine Christian. I want to practice what I preach. I want to come to church with clean hands and a clean heart. I want to come to church expecting God to do something. But that's not just the preacher's obligation. It's all of our obligation. To walk with the Lord. See, true Christianity doesn't just happen on Sunday. It happens every day of the week. You can't go out and live like a hellion during the week and expect to come to church and God do something, you know, miraculous. I'll end with this. The story of Achan is absolutely an illustration, an example of what happens many times in a church. The Bible says a little leaven leaveth the whole lump. And if you think that you can live like you want to during the week as a member of Heritage Baptist Church and come to church on Sunday and that will have no effect on somebody else, you're sincerely, sincerely wrong. No man lives to himself, no man dies to himself. By the way, I'm preaching it myself tonight. Let's be careful. I want to leave you positive tonight because I know that if we will do that, if we'll walk with the Lord during the week, none of us are perfect. I'm not saying, well, preacher, you say you got to show up here with no sin in your life. No, I'm saying like David had a heart for God, you know, a genuineness. And as you do that during the week, as you've had devotions with your family and with your had devotions with the Lord yourself and you come with tithe in hand and you witnessed to a neighbor, you read your Bible, those five-star Christian things, and you're ready to worship. And I'm telling you, I promise you, because the Word of God makes it that very abundantly clear that the Lord will do something special in the church, but also do something special in your life. Those TV evangelists are always talking about having a miracle in your life, you know. You want to have a miracle in your life? Walk with the Lord during the week. Come to church expecting God to do something great in your life and in the church's life. And He will. You are a living stone. You are a living stone. Building up a spiritual house. Unto who? Unto the Lord. Unto the Lord. And when He is pleased, the glory of the Lord will come down. When the child of God looks into the Word of God and sees the Son of God, he is changed by the Spirit of God into the image of God for the glory of God. And as each of us read our Bible during the week and look for Jesus Christ and allow the Holy Spirit to conform us to the image of His Son, and we show up here Sunday with that attitude, you won't believe what will happen. That young man that's sitting in the center section on this side who's lost, who came into the auditorium, he'll feel conviction. So, preacher, that's your responsibility. It's all of our responsibility. We need the Holy Spirit here in a way in which He feels welcome so that He can do the work. I don't bring about conviction. Holy Spirit does. And the Holy Spirit needs the right, whatever you want to call it, atmospheric conditions in order for Him to make Himself evident. And that's when the church, Heritage Baptist Church, is where it should be. Each member where it should be. Let's all stand.